Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is a Father's Day weekend here at the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Looks like it's going to be a wonderful weekend. And as I tell you every week, you know, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. and we are live and we do take your phone calls. You know, if you got questions, comments, or you want to brag about a big fish or whatever, it's 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. I'm Tom Neubauer, and we're just waiting on Danny Bush to show up here at the station. And, of course, Nick Bodie on the boards. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Tom. Good to be with
you. You doing anything special for your dad, with your dad, or anything?
No, I lost my dad when I was younger.
Oh, so, I'm sorry to hear that. I did not know that.
No, it's okay. Yeah. I'll probably watch a couple John Wayne movies, go to Cop's Custard, he loved that, go out for a walk.
Yeah, my dad's not around either, so, but my...
Your kids taking you out to do something wild?
Well, nothing wild. No, they're going to stop over. Some will stop today, some will stop tomorrow, you know, it depends. You know, everybody's got families, everybody's got stuff to do, they've got... You know, their wives, girlfriends, whatever, have fathers to see. You know, I mean,
yep.
It's always a crazy time, you know. But, you know, I always tell my kids, you know, you don't have to get me anything. I don't need anything. I don't want anything, you know. If you bring me a cake, okay, that's fine. I like cake, you know. A nice buttercream frosting cake, you know, that's nice.
Is there a go-to meal you usually request on Father's Day?
No, I don't. Like I said, So, I don't know. I don't think of it as a big day for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
When my dad was alive, yeah, I would do something, you know, bring something over for him or whatever. But no, it's not a big day for me, really, you know, for me personally. My wife feels the same way about Mother's Day and that, you know.
Mm.
So, you know. And then, of course, I wonder how many people, like, do guys, well, like, for an example, how do I phrase this? Okay. On Mother's Day, I would give my mother something, right?
Mm.
But if it was like somebody else, you know, like an aunt or whatever, I mean, it's not like their mother's. They're not my mother. I'm not going to get them something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Only my mom or my dad, you know?
Yeah.
So right now, this time of year, I don't have to worry about it now. Good morning, Danny. Here he is. Oh yeah! Oh sure, yeah. We're talking up a storm. Well, we said we told everybody you'd be in real soon, you know. So it's 4 minutes after six. So.
Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
What's the temperature out?
I took the long way tonight.
I don't know, but it is nice. It's going to be a nice Saturday. Going to be a nice tomorrow. Plan on going fishing tomorrow with a friend of mine and just go out and catch some fish. But I'll tell you what though. We had I am going to make fish today, though.
Okay.
I'm going to make some crappies today.
When are you going to make salsa? You got to bring that in.
Oh, I forgot to bring it in. I got it sitting there on the shelf. I thought about it last night, but I was too lazy to go down in the basement and grab two jars, one for each of you guys, you know. And I said, I'll just get it in the morning. Well, of course, when you're half asleep doing your stuff to come here, I forgot it. I will definitely try to remember next week.
I bought chips this week, Tom. I'm ready. I'm waiting.
Okay.
This better hold up to all the hype.
All right. I will definitely bring it in next week. I will not forget. But My son and I, my oldest son and I, went out fishing on Tuesday. He got out of work early, so we went out one of the little lakes out by Oconomowoc, and he caught a really nice pike, 35, 36 inches. Got a great photo of it. I mean, that baby was long. And we caught some other pike, caught some bass. But then my son said, well, I want to take home something to eat. So that lake has got crappies in it. But what was weird, normally, like right now, Danny, you know, deep weed line edges, they're down there, you know, and with mini mites, no problem. But, you know, we caught a few like that, but it was like I noticed a lot of little minnows skittering across the top, kind of like, you know, they're trying to get away from something. So what I started doing was I'd cast out, and as soon as the mini mite hit the water, I just started reeling slowly and lifting the rod up and down. Man, it started catching them right away. Those fish were like 2 to 4 feet below the surface. They weren't down deeper where they usually are. You know, they were up higher. And so my son took home, you know, 10 crappies, you know, and 3 nice bluegills. And my wife said, how come you didn't bring home any? And I said, because I didn't want to be cleaning fish at 9 o'clock at night. That's why.
Does your wife like the fish?
Oh, yeah.
So she will be happy when you bring home?
Yeah, definitely.
Because my brother, you know, his wife loves walleye.
Yeah?
Yeah. So when we were up in Door County, he caught a 28-inch walleye. It was spawned out and skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept it. He said, Lori's going to be happy, he said, because that one walleye. Now, he and I release all the walleyes we catch in the spring, so he felt keeping one incidental walleye while smallmouth fishing wouldn't necessarily decimate the Door County population.
No, I don't think so.
But there's been times, I think I've said it before, where he'll be laying on the couch and his wife will go, hey, you think you can go get some walleyes? So he'll go. He lives right by Winnebago.
Okay.
So he'll say, all right, and then he'll go and try and catch her some walleyes.
Force me to go fishing.
normally he does. So she does like the fish.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of walleyes in Winnebago, next year, it just came out a couple weeks ago. Next year in 2020, the walleye limit on Winnebago will be 3. No more 5 fish. It will be 3.
Any size limit?
Still no size limit. 3. But 3 fish, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there will be some old-timers that will be upset about that.
Oh, sure. You're always going to have people upset about something.
Look at you, Tom. You're always upset about something.
There's people that...
Talk about Mr. Angry.
Speaking of that...
Yeah. What are your complaints today?
Besides the Oconomowoc...
I got a lot of complaints here about you people.
Yeah. We should have Festivus in the middle of summer.
Right.
Speaking of complaining,
airing of the grievances.
Well, you know, I'll just open this up to the audience. I mean, if you got any pros or cons against the 3 fish walleye limit on Winnebago, you can call us at 414-799-1250. But I'm sure there's going to be people upset. But I don't have a problem.
I don't know if a lot of our listeners hit that Winnebago system. Although Tex in the big rig, he probably might have something to say about it.
Yeah, he might. Yeah.
He fishes up there.
Yeah,
I'll have to ask my brother. I don't think my brother will care. That just means 2 less to clean.
Yeah.
So when his wife forces him to go get walleyes, he can get 3 and come home and finish the ordeal earlier.
Right. Yeah.
I got my limit, honey. I can't fish anymore.
Yeah, can't do it anymore.
Clean him and go back to the couch.
Which, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. Let's say there's two people in a boat. Let's say you're walleye fishing on Winnebago, and one person's got the hot hand, and they catch their 3 walleyes. If they catch another walleye, they cannot throw it in the live well for your buddy's, you know, part of his limit. You can only catch your limit. You cannot catch your friend's limit. You know, I mean, it's a law. It's a DNR rule, you know.
Why are you getting so technical here?
No, I'm just saying that.
Well,
do people really follow that? No, not really. I mean, if you're going out bluegill or crappie fishing, are you really counting who's got how many?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yes, if you're talking to the warden. I mean, there's all laws that we're supposed to. You know what? They should probably change that law to say that in, what do they call, aggregate or in total, that it's the two-man limit. Yeah. The one guy doesn't have to quit fishing.
You know why they started that rule? Years
kind
ago.
Kind of a dumb.
Well,
yeah,
years,
why they started.
Years ago.
Because of the bass tournaments?
No. Years ago on the Fox River up by Green Bay, people would go out. This is once it turned into a three-fish limit. And the fish were fairly easy to catch. I mean, they still are, but years ago they were really easy. But guys would go out. They would, you know, like one guy and three kids or two guys and three kids or whatever. The kids were little. They were like 2, 3, 4 years old, right? They weren't even fishing. The kids would just sit there, be quiet, and they would catch all the fish for their limit of all the people in the boat. So, you know, that's what they were doing.
So
you got 5 people in a boat. You can catch 15 fish. Even though 3 of the little kids weren't even fishing, all right? You were, and so they said, you know, you can only catch your limit. You can't share fish. You know, you can't catch fish for other people's limits. So,
but. Well, I don't know. I kind of got mixed feelings on it because any guy who can put up with taking all his kids in the boat.
Yeah, you got a point there.
That ain't so easy.
He should be rewarded.
He should be rewarded. Okay.
Oh,
I think
God,
the only thing they'd have to say is that the kid has to be fishing. You know, he's got to have a rod and reel in his hand. He can't just be present.
Yeah.
Right?
But anybody who's taking kids fishing knows that if you got little kids fishing, you ain't fishing. You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
You're taking care
of
them. Yeah.
That'd be the answer then.
Yeah, see, that's the answer.
That's the answer. Say, the kid's got to be fishing. He can't just be sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got to at least have a line in the water with an actual bait in order for this to fly.
So, but anyway, that is a rule that most people are not aware of, you know. But here's another thing I wanted to ask you. We've all, you know, regular deer are, you know, like a brownish, tannish in color with the white belly and that. And we've all heard of albino deer, the white ones, you know. Sometimes they're a mottled white, you know, whatever. Did you ever hear of I mean, sure, you've heard of it, but have you ever seen an all-black deer?
A melanistic phase?
An all-black white-tailed deer.
No, I haven't seen one in person. No. I think I've seen pictures.
Somebody got a picture of one in Minnesota recently. That an all-black white-tailed deer.
See, I think there's pretty much the, not that I'm a biologist, but I think there's the melanistic phase of most mammals.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a melanistic phase, and which would be the black. Mm-hmm. And then the, what do they call the ones that are the mottled, not complete albino deer? They call that, what's that name again? It escapes me.
Peabuck? No. Pie something. Pie hole. Pie hole.
Shut your pie hole.
I think it's pie
piebald.
Something. It's
piebald.
Piebald. That's
hey,
it. Yeah, there we go. Pie something.
You're my Neo. Well, you're the right hemisphere of the brain. I'm the left hemisphere of the brain.
Yeah, we figured that one out.
Oh, good. Piebald. That's why we got a show.
Yeah. Pie something.
Piebald. And those are legal to shoot.
Yeah, those are legal. Yeah.
Now, the complete albino would typically, I guess, have the pink eyes and be completely white.
Right.
And that's why if anybody ever shoots a completely albino deer, then it's everybody wants to crucify the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I, you know, it. But do you know that from what I understand, now check your DNR regulations, but an albino deer is the only thing that that is the only albino that it is illegal to shoot in Wisconsin. Like if I saw an albino squirrel,
I could shoot
the albino squirrel. At least from my knowledge. Don't take my word for it, folks. Check the regs. But I was talking to one of the wardens, I believe, years ago, who's the one that told me that. I used to think any albino was protected.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like albino squirrel, albino.
Are there albino foxes?
Darn good question, Tom.
I don't know.
How about an albino bear, black bear?
That would be pretty cool to see. I think they call those polar bears. It's too early. I tell you, I think I'm overtired, you know? Everything's going to be funny to me this morning.
I guess it wouldn't be a black bear anymore.
I guess not. But no, I don't know if any, I've never heard of it. I haven't heard of anybody talking about it, you know, over the years.
Well, you hear about albino muskie.
Yeah, yeah. And blue northerns.
Yeah. Silver pike.
Silver pike, yeah.
Blue walleyes.
Blue walleyes, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, hey, animals and fish, I guess, do come in different colors. We got to go to a break, Danny. There was
when we come back.
Yeah.
Give them a tantalizing teaser, Tom.
I don't really have one. But I do. I do want
to. No reason to stay tuned, folks.
No. Hey, I do want to talk.
Switch over to the Home Improvement Show.
Yeah.
Figure out what kind of drapes to get today.
I do want to talk about.
Check that financial advisor. How do you feel about your 403B?
Yeah. I do want to talk about how the patents run out after like 25 years. And that's why we see, I mean, there's a certain.
Is that why so I see so many ads about the little blue pill now?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. No, but I mean, as far as fishing lures are concerned, how you'll have so many of the same kind, but by different companies. And how do you know which one is better than another, if there really are? We'll talk about that and more right here when we come back on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
The mic on? Okay, I guess that's what you said, huh? We're hot!
We're hot.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. I'm Dan. Here's Tom.
And we got Keith in Waukesha.
Oh.
Yeah. So, good morning, Keith.
Morning, Keith.
Guys. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just want to tell you, you're talking about the piebald deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the place up in O'Connell, you know, and I went up there last September. And we got an apple tree right next to the cottage, and I went to park the truck, and there was a piebald under the tree, a little four-pointer. They are the most beautiful animals you ever want to see in your life. They look like a pinto pony. I've never seen one like that before, and, I mean, he just was eating on them apples, and he wouldn't move for nothing, you know?
Oh, wow. So
and also, remember I showed you that picture of that nine-pointer I got last year?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was going to get it mounted, but I didn't have spare $500-$600 to get it mounted, right? So I decided to do a European mount.
Sure.
And all I did is take the head and buried it in the garden up to the antlers, right?
Uh-huh.
Just, I didn't do it, touch it. I just cut the head off and had the butcher went and cut the head off. That. I took it out this spring, hosed it down. The bugs cleaned that thing up like $1 million.
Yeah, I know. My my son Nick did that with his deer from a few years back.
Yeah, and I mean,
did the
I was
same thing. Yeah,
they got every ounce of tissue off of that thing, and all you had to do was hose it down, and it was perfect to do the final treatment to get it white and everything. It was amazing how well that worked. You know, so.
What do you dip it in bleach afterwards or something? I'm guessing.
I cleaned it up with a little bleach to make sure it's sanitized, you know. And then I painted it. I didn't use that whiting stuff. I just painted it with flat white paint, and it turned out really, really sharp. So.
Hey,
all right,
good suggestion there.
Yeah, good suggestion. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate
it. Before you run away, are you still working on Saturdays?
No.
You're not. Okay.
No more Saturdays. No.
Yeah. Okay.
Except
well, we'll talk
okay.
To you later, then.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
And now we've got Tex in the big rig.
Tex in the big rig. He must have heard me talking about him.
Yeah. Hi, Tex.
Good morning, boys. I think you guys are trying to depress me for Father's Day. But first, you're talking about Winnebago, and then you're talking about bag limits. It's terrible.
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts about that up there?
Yeah, we figured you'd have an opinion.
Oh, sure, a Winnebago for sure. Yeah, I tell you what, if you want to keep a million six-inch walleyes, we got them this year up there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
crazy, Winnebago.
Well, what do you think?
I'll give you a funny Winnebago story. I took the family out in the boat a couple of weeks ago. It was real windy, and I thought, let's jump around with some waves with five people in the boat. Well, I see a flash of black in front of the boat, and there goes the trolling motor. The quick disconnected.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no. No.
Yeah, the pin must have come out, and boy, there she goes. Nothing left but a wire.
Oh,
my gosh. What a beating. Oh,
yeah,
my.
It was bad, but then, you know what? I didn't get all upset because it was a little bit older one, and then I had a big fish outing out in Winneconne the next weekend. There was an old retired vet that he's I was telling him about the story, and he's like, oh, well, I got a older iPilot down in the basement. I'll sell you dirt cheap. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, great. So what do you think about the three fish limit on Winnebago starting next year?
You know, I think it's good. You know, I mean, yeah, the pros just, I mean, with all these tournaments and the amount of fish get killed, we used to clean all those dead fish from, like, Merck Nationals and the big tours that come through. I forgot, you know.
Otter Street and that.
The circuit. And there was so many dead big fish, you know, and I hated to see that, but we cleaned them all up for charity stuff. But, you know, it just seems like we have these big fish outings and nobody catches a ton of really big fish. And three fish is fine with me, but I wouldn't want to go below that because you're going to lose a lot of tourist dollars. If, you know, just look at Mille Lacs Lake, what happened there.
Yeah.
You know, that killed their economy when you do something like that.
Yep.
So was the goal, you think the goal of it, Tex? Because I know, you know, I know the DNR has been talking about it, but I never really followed the reasoning a whole lot. Are they just trying to improve the size structure of the walleyes, or is it a numbers thing they were worried about?
No, it's definitely the size. There's plenty of numbers. I mean, that outing we had there in Winneconne, everybody caught a lot of fish, and it was horrible fishing, cold fronts, and blaze, you know, wind and all that. And, you know, and it was, everybody caught fish, and there's fish to be caught, but the size is the problem.
Yeah, they're also talking about some of the year classes weren't so good from a few years back, you know.
Yeah,
and
but
so,
you know what? They've had so many good year classes over the year. We used to have the biologists come in every year and talk to the fishing club, and just you see the numbers on a chart, and you just go, oh, there's a ton of fish in there.
Oh, yeah, Winnebago is loaded, yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, what I wanted to say was you were talking about these lures and how people make all these offshoot lures like sonars and well, like, you know, the hot bait up there is the wraps up there on Green Bay. Well, I remember getting some Fleet Farm lures that looked just like the wraps, and we use those on Lake Michigan. And I tell you what, we ended up catching a ton of whitefish, which was kind of odd. But I know what you're saying, and I think a lot of people, they just kind of miss out on getting some of the off-brand models, you know. And I think they're so stuck on being sold to buy replicas this and you got to have that one, you know, these same brands. I think it's, people should look in their old tackle boxes and see what they got and go, hey, it looks darn near the same, maybe a little different. Well, can I do something to modify my lure to make it do that?
Right, you know, exactly.
Like, you know. Well, but anyway, guys, hey, I just want to ask you, Tom, are you going to be working Monday? I'm going to be down in Milwaukee area.
No.
At Sherpers?
No, I will not be.
All right, well, I'll keep
playing
when I drive through 45 there.
All right.
Tom,
thanks,
right,
Tex.
Guys. Tom's never working anymore.
I'll see you. Bye now.
It sounds like it.
No, I am, but just not those days.
Working on laying on a couch.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about it because about the different lures. Now, like, he brought up the Sonic. Yeah, basically, it's a blade bait, right? And it had the patent for many years. But then once that patent wore out, everybody started making Sonic-type lures. There's musky ones and bass ones, walleye ones, you know, all different kinds, all different sizes, all different colors, all different shapes. I like using a Pop-R. Pop-R started many years ago, right? And I like that for a topwater bait. But now there's a lot of different lures, just like the Pop-R. And I think what Tex is saying is
like the chugging bug or
a chugging bugger, I think, is one. I forget, Strike King has one. I forget what they call theirs, but there's a lot of different number of different companies all make it. And it's like it's like when there's something good, when that patent wears out, everybody's making it because they're all good.
Years ago,
you know,
the Rapala, the original floating Rapala came out. But there was another minnow bait called the Rebel.
Yeah.
R-E-B-E-L.
Yeah, the Rebel.
And
yeah.
They had a little same type of little floating type. And for the brown trout off the pier, I've talked about up by Two Rivers before they closed it down after 9/11. I've talked about how I'd use a little floating Rapala. Sometimes I like the tiniest little, they came out with the rainbow trout pattern one.
Yeah, the real little ones, yeah.
But there was a little blue rebel that was like an inch long.
Mm-hmm.
That would work just as well.
Really?
Little tiny little blue rebel out there, you know, working in the current.
Oh, and speaking of knockoff baits, I'll tell you about one after the gut report.
I'll tell you the greatest knockoff bait that ever.
Oh, when we come back.
When we come back.
Yeah,
Tom.
We'll talk about a couple of good ones. So we got the gut report coming up next. And don't forget, folks, after the 6:45 break, we will be playing the Hornswoggle, where you can win wonderful prizes.
Not just regular prizes.
No, wonderful prizes.
Wonderful prizes.
Okay.
We'll be wonderful, wonderful.
We'll be right back here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening.
You know what it is?
Time
it's
for the gut
report time.
Come here, I'm going to eat
you. Get me in my belly.
I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food
goodness.
Chain. Get in my belly.
The gut report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. All right, folks, I know some of you are catching. You know what the difference between a rainbow trout and a steelhead is?
I do.
Yeah, it's the size. You know, steelhead are out in Lake Michigan. The rainbow are inland. But they're basically the same fish, but they're just smaller inland. But if you happen to be lucky to have some rainbow trout inland, or if you happen to be lucky to get a steelhead, a big lake trout, you take about a couple pounds of rainbow trout. Make sure you get the pin bones out and all that stuff. Fillet it, you know, take the skin off, and then you make a marinade. Now this marinade, and some people are starting to call it marinade or marinade. I think marinade is like when you're charging $50 a plate versus $10 a plate.
If you make 200 grand a year, it's marinade.
Yeah,
exactly. If you're like me and you, it's marinade.
Marinade, right. Well, anyway, now first you got to start off with a cup of white wine. If you don't want alcohol in your food, then just substitute white soda, like a 7-Up or something.
What's wrong with alcohol in the food?
Well, some people can't have it, you know.
No, the alcohol, like from
the
what
alcohol
I understand, is no
dissipates,
longer dissipates
but,
and is gone.
Right,
so it's
the alcohol's
not alcohol.
Gone. But it, like for my wife, I was telling this to Bodie earlier that, see, she doesn't like the taste of it. And I said, well, that's why you put it in there, is for the flavor. But she doesn't like it. So if you don't want the flavor of the white wine, just use white soda. Anyway, then a quarter cup of soy sauce, quarter cup of Worcestershire sauce, the juice of one lemon, quarter cup of vegetable oil, couple cloves of garlic crushed. Marinate all that stuff for about an hour, 2 hours. Take it out of there, and then you can either put it on the grill over indirect heat or put it in the oven at 350 degrees on a grate. And don't flip it, though. You don't want to go flipping this thing around. Just leave it lay there, and it'll cook right through. It takes about 30 minutes or so. It'll cook right through. It'll be delicious. So, anyway, and by the way, I got to tell you, that's from our friends Mad Dog and Merrill. I got to give them props, you know.
Yeah,
don't want to steal their stuff.
Otherwise, it's plagiarism,
that's
Tom.
That's right. Yeah, got to say.
You could go to prison.
Mad Dog.
Well, you could go to prison.
I can't go to prison.
Just,
I'm too pretty
just
to go
like
to prison.
All the prizes we give out from the Cutting Edge Outdoors are not the station's responsibility. They're the sole responsibility of Tom Neubauer.
No. Right. Yeah.
So all those prize packages, it's all on you, bub.
Yeah. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Well, Tom, right. It's a pretty... This is my most terrifying time of the year right now. It's because of the Father's Day holiday. I'm always afraid I'm going to get a Father's Day card in the mail.
Well, we teased, you and I both teased at the end of that other segment. Remember what we were going to talk about?
No, I have
no
idea.
Did you forget?
Of course I forgot. And I haven't even had all the concussions like you've had.
And you know what? I think I forgot too.
Yeah, we both forgot.
Maybe somebody
we're two
can,
old guys sitting somebody, around going.
Somebody should call us at 799-1250 and remind us.
Two old guys
us.
Can't remember anything. Next thing will be, you'll say something, I can't hear you. I'll go, huh? And you go, what?
Oh, God.
Nothing's worse than...
Yeah.
Nothing's worse than being with somebody who doesn't hear really well, though.
Yeah, you just got to. I have a neighbor like that. He wears hearing aids, but sometimes he turns them down. And so I just got to talk
like,
louder.
You'll be in the boat, and one will be in one end, and you'll be in the other. And I'll just mutter something to myself, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. We all kind of talk to ourselves, right?
Yeah, sometimes, I do a lot. I do a lot.
Like, let's say I'm tying a knot, and it's screwed up. And I go, oh, dang, I got to read. Done. Yeah. Or I say something, and the guy in the back goes, what?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nothing. I didn't say. I'm just muttering to myself over here.
My oldest son, when I fish with him, I'm in the back of the boat. He's in the front of the boat. And we're about 16 feet away or 14 feet away from each other, right? And he's facing the front, and I'm facing the side, like.
Right.
And he'll say something to me, but he's talking to the front of the boat. He's not turning and saying it to me. So I can never actually hear what he's saying. Because he's not turning and looking at me saying it.
But he is talking to you?
He's talking to me, but he's looking out the front of the boat. Well, I can't hear. I mean, and he's just talking in a normal voice, you know. And so I'm 14 feet away. You know, the boat is like 16 and a half feet long. But figure where we're standing, we're about, I don't know, 12, 14 feet away from each other.
Right.
And he's facing away from me. Well, how am I supposed to hear him that distance and he's facing away from me and he's talking and he's not saying it loud? And I got to keep saying, what? What are you talking about? I sound like one of those old guys. Okay, who do you got on the line? Is somebody going to remind us?
What?
He is. Our friend John has a reminder for you.
Oh, John. Hey, John.
What were they talking about before the break?
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Yeah, good show. Knockoff lures. I've been waiting with Peter.
Oh, yes.
That's what we were talking about.
Yes.
Can't believe
it. Got it. I got a great one for you, too, John. All right?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you. All right.
Knockoff lures.
Now, do you remember a number of years ago, I designed that one musky lure called a U-Bower, and it was a bucktail and a spinnerbait combined, and Gene down in Illinois was making them. And
I think I still have one.
Yeah, he made a prototype. I said, you got to put more weight in it and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, we all know what happened with that situation with him and the Smokies and whatever. So anyway, it kind of went by the wayside, right? And it was a good lure. It caught fish, without a doubt. Caught a lot of bass and northerns on it. I mean, I'm sure some muskies were caught, but a lot of bass and northerns. Well, anyway.
Right.
When I was out at Smokey's Musky Bait and Tackle Shop the other day, somebody's making one like it, only the double blade in front of the bucktail is larger Colorados, and the blade that comes off like the spinnerbait blades, that's a small Colorado. I used a bigger willow leaf on that one. But they're making one like it.
So I'm trying
to
remember.
But there's no weight in it. There's no weight. It's going to be too
light. Was that like a cross between a bucktail and a spinnerbait?
It was both combined. It was a bucktail and a spinnerbait together.
You had the spinners on the shaft up above like a spinnerbait.
And
then you had a
double-bladed one, kind of like a cowgirl.
Right.
In front of the
I think we got, it looked great in the water. Seems to me we got a pike or maybe some bass on it. I don't think I ever got a muskie on it.
I don't know, but they were great bait. If I could find somebody.
Whatever happened to my U-Bower?
Yeah, if I could find somebody, some manufacturing company or somebody who wants to do it, to make those and sell those. I mean, they're good lures. They work. I mean, but anyway. And you were going to tell us about one.
The greatest knockoff. Knockoffs that always would work is the old red and white spoon. You did not need a red and white daredevil to catch pike. As a matter of fact, the original red and white daredevil tended to be a little on the heavy side.
That's because it was made out of brass, thick brass.
Okay, there, Mr. Metallologist.
Well,
whatever.
Well, it was thick brass, and then they painted it. Yeah.
Important fact there. Thank you.
The cheaper ones were made out of God knows what.
So as I was saying, the heavier daredevils, A, were heavier, and B, cost more, and C, tended to snag more.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a kid with the Zebco 33 with 10-pound strand on it, hooking a log 30 yards out at the end of your cast and breaking off a daredevil was rather painful.
Mm-hmm.
So the old knockoff spoons, the red and white spoons, tended to be lighter,
mm-hmm.
And they didn't sink as much. And you still got a great action. You could catch as many pike chucking those off a pier as you could original Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you remember, Tom, you could go to a store back in the day, you know, Green Bay, they've closed now or closing up now. The Shopko stores, Kmart's, this and that, a lot of different stores. They'd have a big selection of just knockoff spoons. Yep. Sometimes they'd actually have a fish basket hanging. I remember going to some places.
Yeah, with lures hanging from it.
Yeah, you remember seeing that? And they just hang a bunch of spoons from them. And maybe you could buy one for, thinking maybe just $1 or something.
Oh, less than that.
Less than that. Maybe 79 cents. You could get a cheap knockoff spoon. And
the Daredevil would be $3.99, $4.99. The little knockoff would be 79 cents.
And it didn't even have to be a bright red and white. It could be kind of a pinkish and white.
Oh, they had all different colors.
And I don't think the pike really cared. As long as it had some flash.
Yeah, if it had the action. Yeah.
Right.
The one color I could never understand in those was the black and white.
You know, typically Daredevil had... The original Daredevils, you're right, they typically had the red and white and the black and white. And I never did well on the black and white.
No, I could never understand that color.
The only thing I remember is in going to Wood Lake Bible Camp years ago, and a kid named Todd caught a 16-inch bass off the swim raft throwing a black and white Daredevil.
That was the only fish ever caught on that
and
color lure.
It was 16 inches that year, and when he was back at camp the next year, it was 18 inches.
Oh,
and by the third year of camp... The story was he caught a 20-inch bass with that black and white Daredevil.
It kept growing.
It grew every year.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, fish grow. What are you going to do? You
know? He's a true fisherman, that guy, Todd.
Well, we got to go to a
break. Whatever happened to that little liar?
Yeah. And coming up next is the Hornswoggle. Now, you got to remember, folks, the prize contests on the Cutting Edge Outdoors are the sole responsibility of the Cutting Edge Outdoors radio show and its sponsors.
Tom.
Any questions or comments should be directed to CEOguys@yahoo.com. And the Hornswoggle is brought to you by Carl's Country Market, known for its award-winning sausages and everything meat and more. They're at Pilgrim Road in Silver Spring in Menominee Falls. You'll get a $10 gift certificate from them if you win. And also by Baitmate Fish Attractants and Coleman Insect Repellents. You'll get a choice of prizes from them. So, hey.
It's all wonderful.
Yeah. And I was using Baitmate for those crappies,
wonderful
too.
Wonderful prize package.
I was squirting my Baitmate garlic and salt on my Mini Mite the
other
night.
I got to get some more.
And that works.
It does help.
It does help. All right. Now, call right now, folks. 799-1250. That's 414-1250. 799-1250.
If you've won in like the last 6 weeks, try and give somebody else a chance.
Yeah, we got your name and city on file.
Well, Tom's, you know, like
Mr. Nick Modi's got
Dick
it.
Dick Tracy over there.
No,
you
he's
FBI.
Dick Tracy over there. All right, we'll be right back,
Sleuth.
Folks. Call right now. Hey, welcome back, folks. This is the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors with Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, Nick Bodie on the boards, and it's time to play the Hornswoggle, except Danny's not here. What happened to Danny? Okay. Well, okay, here he comes. We can play the Hornswoggle now. So...
I and Mike McGivern were telling jokes back.
Oh,
back
is that
there.
Right?
But he said, don't tell Neubauer because I don't want him back here telling bad jokes.
Yeah, he doesn't like my jokes. I like them.
So we weren't telling jokes back there.
Okay. I'll tell Mike one later.
Okay.
Anyway, who do you got for the Hornswoggle?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Mike from where?
Where are you guys?
He's from Oconomowoc.
Mike from Oconomowoc. Hi, Mike.
Okay. So here we go. I'll make three statements. And you can tell me if it's a Hornswoggle, if I'm pulling your leg, or if it's the truth. Okay, the topic for today is 44 Magnum handguns.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Clint Eastwood, Dirty Harry, Magnum Force, made the 44 Magnum famous using a Ruger Super Blackhawk in his movies. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
Well, that's a Hornswoggle. It was a Smith & Wesson.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Smith and Wesson.
I thought everybody knew that.
Okay, that's okay.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
The 44 Magnum, one of Clint's famous lines was, and this is a 44 Magnum powerful enough to blow your head off, the world's most powerful handgun, when he's talking to the maniac guy. Maybe the 44 Magnum might have been the world's most powerful at that time, but it no longer is. There's been lots of more powerful handguns out there coming out all the time. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
No Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle. That's right. Yeah, there's all kinds of them. There's 500 Smith & Wesson. Yep. There's another one, a New Desert Eagle, I'll be talking about later in the show to enlighten our listeners. So everybody's greatly learned. So you're one out of two. Here we go. The 44 Magnum originally kind of was began as a Wildcat cartridge by Elmer Keith, who was a big handgun aficionado. And so basically the 44 Magnum got its start as a Wildcat cartridge and then later became a standard caliber cartridge. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle.
No, that was a no Hornswoggle.
I had no idea. I think that name was too normal. Otherwise, you say Lincoln Cooper or something weird, you know?
No. Yeah. Well, thanks for trying, Mike. And
call
next week and give her a shot again. So
thank you very much.
You bet, guys. Thanks, Mike.
Now. I think maybe Mike was hoping for fishing questions, then all of a sudden he got handgun questions.
They threw him off. Well, I had 44 Magnum on the brain today, Tom.
Yeah.
There is a new, I've got my Guns and Ammo magazine here, and they've come out with a 429 Desert Eagle.
429?
Yeah. Now, the Desert Eagle, I believe, is an Israeli company.
Okay.
And they came out years ago with the first Desert Eagle, which was a 44 Magnum Desert Eagle.
Okay.
Since that time, they've made others, but now there's a new cartridge. Now, the 429 Desert Eagle is actually faster than a 44 Magnum.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's basically the same bullet, okay, as far as the actual projectile. But you can pretty much get like a 44 Magnum out of a handgun. Typically, a 240 grain bullet is going to be around, you know, 1300 feet per second. The 429 Desert Eagle is going 1700 feet per second, which basically matches the ballistics of a 44 Magnum shot out of a carbine rifle.
Yeah.
And
how can they do that?
Huh? Well, it's a new...
Is it a bigger cartridge?
Well, it's a new type of... Yeah, obviously they have to do, you know, these guys are always coming up with new loadings and so forth all the time. I guess... Now, I think they make a 500... you know, they got the 500 Smith & Wesson,
right,
I believe.
Yeah.
And I believe there's a 500...
There's another one.
Desert Eagle and stuff. The problem with those are such hand cannons that if you're going to have something that powerful... You might as well just get a rifle, but the 429 Desert Eagle, from what I understand, it sounds like it's got recoil kind of more comparable to the 44 Magnum as opposed to some of those other hand cannons. Yet it's even faster, so it sounds like it would be a good hunting caliber. I mean, the 44 Magnum. Now, most people use revolvers for hunting; they don't use an automatic.
Right.
But I don't see any reason why this wouldn't be a good choice.
Yeah.
Pretty darn expensive choice.
I would imagine it is.
Yeah, but they're always coming up with new cartridges. I read another interesting article though, Tom, that's talked about, one guy's talking about how he really doesn't think there's a need for Magnum cartridges, period. That, you know, he told a story how he got a new Magnum rifle and he shot an elk and it just kind of walked away. And he shot again, and when he found it, he'd hit it, but the bullet had just drilled through and didn't even expand.
Okay.
And then he talked about how he shot some with a .30-06, and they, you know, dropped right away. And he's talking about how Magnum cartridges, you got to make sure that you have the right expanding bullet. You don't want a heavy jacketed type bullet, otherwise it's going to drill through.
Yeah.
And do you really get your extra bang for your buck?
No pun intended.
Right, and I think, and I've seen guys, rookie hunters, they want to start hunting. What are they going by? A 300 Magnum. You got some rookie out there with some big cannon because they think bigger is better.
Mm-hmm.
probably the same guy using a 12-foot muskie rod's going to use a.
Yeah, right. And it's more placement than anything.
Yeah, it's. I'd rather have someone who can shoot a 243 accurately than some guy with a 300 Magnum. A gut shot animal is a gut shot animal.
Right.
It's going to run off.
Yep. Yep.
So.
And that's another thing. You just mentioned it. These long muskie rods. I don't know if is it just me. I mean, the longest muskie rod I have is 7.5 feet. And I don't want to go any longer. I think that, for me, that's long enough. But there's so many 8, 8.5, 9 footers. A lot of muskie anglers are using 8 to 9 footers. Do you have any of those?
Yeah. You know, for years, my go-to was 7.5 foot. And just for fishing medium-sized baits out on Pewaukee, I still love. That's what I was using this last week. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting a few 8-footers that, you know, were for heavier type stuff. I did break down, and I bought one of those Schwarzenegger rods last year.
Right, yeah. How long is that one?
It's 9 feet.
9 feet.
It comes apart, though, in front of the handle.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it doesn't come across. I don't like ones that come apart in the middle for some reason.
No, I don't.
Psychologically, I've never thought that would be as good as just one continuous blank. And I guess, evidently, there's probably rod manufacturers that would beg to differ. But so I did get that, and it's just for throwing the heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest with you, Tom, throwing 1-pound bulldogs and stuff, it kills my shoulders and joints anyway.
I'm not going to throw those. Those are way too big.
I think that's kind of the young bucks. You know, for guys, bigger is better. And so they're all going crazy. I gotcha. Let me finish here. Calm down, big stud. So anyway, your flight attendant there, I'm landing a plane. So anyway, I think it's kind of a psychology thing. Bigger baits, bigger rods, got to get it. Everybody's kind of getting into
bigger
it.
Bigger boat.
And it does sometimes work for the monster fish. I get it. But I think it's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, so. I do too. Next thing you know, we will have 12-foot muskie rods.
Right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.